talking to me?
Funny like I'm a clown, I use you.
Here's Johnny.
He's looking at you, kid.
We're on a mission from God.
Go ahead. Make my day.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
Good morning. Today is October 17th, and this is the We Are Movie Geeks podcast. I'm Tom Stockman.
Jim Batts.
Lynn Venhouse.
Lynn Venhouse is joining us today. How you doing, Lynn?
Good. How are you, Tom and Jim?
Great. Never better.
Yes,
oh,
yes.
My gosh.
It's a summer day.
It is a summer
yes,
day.
Yes, yes.
All right.
It's a long weekend.
Well, we got lots of movies to talk about and review and all that kind of stuff. So let's do it. Lynn, by the way, reviews movies for the Belleville News Democrat and the Kirkwood Webster Times, et cetera, et cetera. But she's been on here like a million times. You already know that. So let's go straight to the top 12. Yeah. Number 12 was Masterminds, Jim Batts' favorite movie of 2016.
Oh,
made $1.7 million. Max Steel, that movie came in town. They didn't show it to us.
Yeah, that's a co-production with Mattel.
Oh, yeah.
It's based on one of their toys.
Oh.
Well, it got, apparently, it was a very heavily horrifying bomb.
Oh, okay. Well, it made $2.1 million. I don't know anything about it.
It was the 13th worst showing for a film in over 2,000 theaters.
Okay. Yeah, it's pretty bad. Yeah. Maria Bello's in it, I believe. So, yeah.
They did no publicity
here. Box office gold, Maria Bello.
They did no publicity.
Oh, I know. It just looks stupid. And nobody knew it was showing. So, too bad for Max Steel. Number 10 was Birth of a Nation and Falling Fast. I gave it a very positive review, but it didn't even seem to help. Did you see that one, Lynn?
I did, and I liked it.
Did you review it at the Belleville?
I did not because I saw it too late, but I wanted to see it. So it's an important film, and I think I agree with you, what you said about it. So, and I also think a tad heavy-handed at times, but I thought it was very well done.
It was the good kind of heavy-handed.
Yeah.
All right, number 9 was Sully, $2.9 million. Number 8 was Middle School, Worst Years of My Life. I saw that.
You did you? Because they pulled the screening for us, so how was it?
My 12-year-old and her 12-year-old friend loved it. So if they're happy, I'm happy. Let's just put it that way. Magnificent 7 was number 7. Oh, isn't that cute?
Yeah, but still in the top 10. That's pretty good for about a month old. So
yeah, $5.2 million. Storks, which I did not see, is number 6 with $5.6 million. Deepwater Horizon still hanging in there in the top 5. Number 5, $6.3 million.
But it's had a real big drop, and it's not doing well overseas yet.
It might still be in the top 10 next weekend, so it's maybe got a couple more weeks in there, I think.
Here we go. And number 4 was Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children. That made $8.9 million. Number 3 is Girl on the Train, which is number 1 last week. It's made $11.9 million. Kevin Hart, What Now?, which I reviewed at WeAreMovieGeeks.com. I gave it 3 out of 5 stars, and it made $11.9 million. I guess that's pretty good for a stand-up comedy movie.
Well, it's the largest opening for a stand-up comedy film, yes. And it is his third concert film, but it's his best-reviewed one.
Well, in my review, I opened with saying I couldn't remember the last time there was a stand-up comedy film that played at theaters, besides maybe a Fathom event or something, and I said I'd have to go all the way back to Eddie Murphy and Raw. But I was mistaken. Somebody corrected me and said Martin Lawrence actually had a couple of stand-up comedy films in the 90s.
If you count the Kings of Comedy and Blue Collar Kings
those are more ensemble comedy.
But they're stand-up, so they're concerts.
So I was mistaken in my review, but didn't matter because it did quite well at $11.9 million. Number 1 was The Accountant starring Ben Affleck, and that made $24.7 million. That's
pretty good. It overperformed.
Did it?
Yeah, that's about twice as much as Kevin Hart's film.
Yeah, yeah. So but, there wasn't a whole lot to see, I think. People say, what are we going to see this weekend? And I don't know.
Well, it got a really good cinema score result from the audience. It got an A-, whereas Girl on the Train only got a B-. So they think The Accountant might do better than Girl on the Train.
Probably.
More than likely.
When all is said and done. The dust is settled. All right, and this week, I think Jack Reacher starring Tom Cruise opens, so that'll probably be number 1 next week, I would imagine.
It's the second Jack Reacher, actually. Mm. Never Go Back.
I like the first Jack Reacher.
Yeah, first one was okay. Yeah.
Did you see that one?
Yes, yeah. Rosamund Pike.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, Cruise has a second franchise going.
Yeah, you know, and they screened that in St. Louis, and Tom Cruise was here. Remember that?
I heard about that. Yeah, the first Jack Reacher.
It was about, yeah, the Jack. It was about 6 months before it opened. They had like a way, way, way advanced screening, and they were very strict about not letting any of the press attend.
Well, his father was stationed at Scott Air Force Base when he was a child before his parents got divorced. Huh. So he actually lived in St. Louis for a time.
Just like Colin Firth.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right. Well, let's move on. We got lots of movies to review. Actually, we don't have lots of movies to review. We got four movies to review. Let's start with The Accountant, which was number one at the box office.
Say you're the head of the Sinaloa cartel. Who can you trust to track your stolen cash? He's capable of coming in cold, uncooking years of books, and getting out alive. Imagine the secrets this guy has.
Who are you?
And Jim and Lynn both saw The Accountant, but I did not. And Kate reviewed it for WeirdMovieGeek.com and gave it 3 out of 5. Jim, do you agree with Kate that it was only worth 3 out of 5, or would you have given it more?
I'd have maybe given it a half more. I thought it was a pretty darn good action film. The action scenes are pretty interesting, and the mystery setup is good. It's got a heck of a cast. And the direction's good. The direction's from Gavin O'Connor, who finished Jane Got a Gun. I don't know if he was he directed the whole thing. There was a lot of controversy about that. A lot of switching of directors, I recall.
On what?
Jane Got a Gun. Jane Got a Gun. Yeah, yeah. But he also did a great movie about 5 years ago. One of our reviewers that we know thought it was last year, but Warrior was actually in 2011.
Oh yeah,
that was the mixed martial arts.
Nick Nolte. Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy and Joel Edgerton. Yeah. And, yeah, that's a terrific film you should seek out. And I think there's a lot of The Accountant that's pretty terrific. You got to see it also, Lynn, right?
Yes, yeah. I enjoyed it thoroughly. I was entertained. I did not catch a lot of the twists. I was surprised. It's twisty-turny, which I like. And also, he has brains and brawn, which you don't expect. So,
and autism.
So yes.
Yeah, well, that's something we'll have to touch about. Okay. Yeah, yeah. That's the minefield about this film, because they never want to actually come out and say it. And he's highly functioning, but there's a twist involving someone that really has the full high spectrum, and I don't know if that's going to play well with a lot of people that are familiar with that condition. It's a tricky subject, that's for sure.
Mm. So it's got a different twist. This is a guy that you want to do your taxes, but also you want to be in charge of the neighborhood watch.
There you go.
Yeah, but he's helping out bad guys, though, do their taxes and do their book, keep their books straight.
Yeah, that's the premise.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why he becomes this super super assassin, super hitman. But it's nice to see Affleck trying something different. And one of the his co-stars is J.K. Simmons, who's the Treasury agent out to get him. And so this is sort of a precursor to their working together soon in the DC movies, because Simmons is the new Commissioner Gordon to his Batman.
Is it as good as Daredevil?
I think it's a little better than Daredevil, that's for certain. Anna Kendrick is in it. She's the young accountant that finds something amiss in the books at John Lithgow's mega corporation that does robotic parts for amputees and things like that.
John Lithgow's in it?
John Lithgow's in it.
James Smart is his
sister. Now, who
plays
Ben Affleck's wife?
He's a loner and socially awkward.
Okay. Although he has a mysterious English voice on the phone that calls him Dreamboat. Opens up every conversation. But
it's kind of like Kit, in The Knight Rider.
It's probably Matt Damon.
No. And one of our favorites, John Barenthal, is in it also as a sort of a rival evil hitman. And it's nice to see him doing some work.
He's always the bad guy, except in Me and Earl and the Dying Girl, when he's the cool teacher.
Yeah, that was such a lousy movie. I blocked it out of my mind. speaking of John Barenthal, did Walking Dead start last night?
No, that starts next Sunday. But he's long gone, unless they do a flashback.
First season.
Right. Well, I haven't watched 1 second of television in over 2 months now, and I haven't seen a single campaign commercial. Well, but I'm going to watch.
Oh, you are a lucky man.
But I am going to watch that Walking Dead season premiere to see who got killed with the baseball bat, even though I didn't watch the season cliffhanger. But I know what happened. All right. I've gotten totally off subject.
I know. You're talking about the dreaded TV, the awful TV.
All right. But you guys want to say anything else about The Accountant? Jim would have given it 3.5 stars out of 5. How many? Did you review it?
Yes, I did. I gave it 3 of 4. And I enjoyed it. I think it's worth going to.
All right. Sure. So Jim and Lynn both recommend The Accountant. I am going to now review Kevin Hart, What Now?
It does piss me off that my kids don't have any edge. Private school kids, my son, he said, all right, let me get my flops. What? Boy, if you don't get your black, white ass down these damn steps.
I reviewed this stand-up comedian film at WeirdMovieGeeks.com. I gave it 3 out of 5 stars. I did not laugh out loud very much at this stand-up comedy film featuring Kevin Hart, but the audience I was with sure did. Oh my gosh, it was sponsored by one of these urban hip-hop radio stations, so that was the audience, not me. But that's okay. I was glad that they were all having a good time with this movie. He performed it in Philadelphia, which is his hometown, in front of 50,000 people, which is just crazy. When you see these long shots of him standing in this arena surrounded by all these people, you think, how on earth did he sell 50,000 tickets? But I guess, you know, he's a hometown hero, so good for him. Starts out with this weird prologue that's this James Bond spoof and has this James Bond opening credits and Halle Berry and Ed Helms and
Don Cheadle.
They all show up for this. Oh, they're in this casino and they're playing poker and there's this shootout and blood, and it's just bizarre because it's not very funny and it's not very thrilling, and it looks like it was very expensive to shoot, and it seems a little unnecessary. I guess they did it to pad out because his actual stand-up thing runs maybe 75 minutes, but we watched Richard Pryor, one of the classic Richard Pryor stand-up movies a couple of months ago, and Richard Pryor didn't need a multi-million dollar James Bond spoof to open his film with.
Exactly.
Good grief. Let the stand-up speak for itself, but that's okay. He talked.
No, it's not. Well,
Do you think it's because nowadays audiences expect bells and whistles? You know,
I think the material's not strong, from what I understand.
Well, but the material in this prologue certainly wasn't strong. I think they just needed to pad it out to 90 minutes. Frankly, I think that's about 15. Mm-hmm. The opening 15 minutes, and then there's 75 minutes, and then the movie's 90 minutes, and then it's over. I guess they didn't. I don't know why they did it, but.
He financed the film himself.
Did he? All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's going to make a lot of money. Made a lot of money from over the weekend. But I like the fact that he didn't really go into filthy subjects. He uses the F-bomb a lot, but he talks about his family, and he talks about his son going to an all-white private school, and that's amusing. He talks about his father coming to visit with him with his crippled girlfriend that he had run over with the car, and that's kind of amusing. I smiled a lot during the movie. I really like Kevin Hart, even though he... most of the movies he makes are kind of lousy. So he's kind of fun to spend time with on stage. And I just didn't laugh very loud, but that's okay because, like I say, the rest of the audience did. So I felt like I should give it 3 out of 5 stars. It's not one of the better stand-up comedian movies ever made, but it's not bad.
Well, I never want to review the audience when I'm going to see a film. I mean, you know, both of us went to see Mother's Day, and the audience was rolling out of their chairs laughing at that.
Yeah, but
I was like, gee. But you know, you got to go on your own instincts. And I was glad you were able to see it because I've never gotten on the Kevin Hart train. I've seen his stand-up on SNL, and I didn't want to see that. This and I could say it seems like maybe since Eddie Murphy's Raw, stand-up comedy the stand-up comics want to be sort of rock stars now and come out in a puff of fog and wear these elaborate outfits and have a lot of audience interaction. It's kind of refreshing to see those Richard Pryor films, especially that first one. It's just in a modest auditorium, and he's letting his humor, his wits, take care of the everything that needs to be taken care of in a comedy. So,
yeah, well, it is what it is. I sort of enjoyed it. I gave it 3 out of 5. So I wasn't bored with it. Let's just put it that way. It wasn't for me. So I guess if you think you're going to like it, you probably will. It's actually getting a lot better reviews than the earlier Kevin Hart stand-up films. This is his third in the past 5 years. And he says it's his last. So we'll see who the next stand-up comedian is to get a movie out at the movie theaters. Let's move on. You guys saw Keeping Up with the Joneses.
New neighbors aren't wasting any time moving in, are they?
Still spying on the neighbors? Hi.
We're the Joneses.
Such a lovely street.
The Chinese don't even have a word for a street like this.
They would say, Xin li he ling ben de kuai le de di feng.
It sounds cool coming out of your mouth.
Although you may or may not be able to give your opinions on it because there's one of these goofy embargoes where the studio comes over and they hit us over the head with their briefcases if we say too much.
Yeah,
so let's see some thumbs.
Okay, I am positive. And I guess if you're a John Hamm fan...
Who's not?
Yes, yeah. He's a super suave secret agent.
And he's from St. Louis.
Yeah. Yes, and it's directed by Greg Mottola, who did Superbad, and also there was a film on HBO that starred John Hamm called Clear History. So that's where that connection is. It's Zach Galifianakis, but he's not annoying Zach Galifianakis.
Yes, let's distance this movie from Masterminds. I'm hoping the stink from Masterminds doesn't attach itself to this movie because it's vastly superior to Masterminds.
And what about Gal Gadot?
Oh, she's beautiful.
In her lingerie. Goodness.
Yes.
Yes, she's a very striking woman.
As is Isla Fisher.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And we get to see a little bit more of her, so that's nice.
Mrs. Sacha Baron Cohen. Yeah. And Gal Gadot, you all talk about her, but she is the new Wonder Woman.
I know.
FYI. Well, we know that.
I know, but maybe our audience doesn't.
Okay.
If they haven't seen it, you know, one of the biggest films of the last year. But yeah, this is Isla's first film in about 3 years, really.
She's
been
having children.
I know. Yeah, the last big one was Life of Crime. Although I guess she had a cameo in Brothers Grimsby. Is that right, Tom?
She may have. I can't remember. I did see it, but I don't know.
She's the wife of one of the stars. So I would understand.
All right. So maybe next week we can come back and interview. Review it in a little more detail.
I think the trailer doesn't do it justice. Oh, yeah. I think it's a really good...
Better than the trailer.
Yeah, and it's got the suburbia and the espionage. Yes.
That'll be Lynn's quote in the DVD box. Better than the trailer.
That happens
a lot.
That was your quote on Ghostbusters, Tom. Better than the trailer.
Well, you know, this happens a lot lately. We've been talking about that, about the trailers are very misleading. What was the one that we were so... The Bromance. Oh, what was that movie? We talked about it. War Dogs.
War Dogs.
Yeah. So sometimes a trailer just gives too much away or not enough.
Now I am going to review a movie I saw yesterday, and boy, am I glad I did. It's Shin Godzilla. Unfortunately, you only have one other opportunity to see this movie on the big screen, and that is tonight. It's 7 at the Tivoli and over at the Regal Mills over in Hazelwood. Which is too bad, because it's really good. I'm really glad I saw it. It is the 31st Godzilla movie from Toho Studios of Japan, and it is a reboot. It is not a sequel. It's kind of unusual to see it, because in all the other Godzilla movies, everybody knows Godzilla and loves Godzilla, and there's always like a little kid that worships Godzilla. This is a very, very different Godzilla movie. This is all about the government bureaucrats and the way they're dealing with Godzilla. It is really bold and original and bizarre. Godzilla comes out of the ocean and he's like half fish, and he has these big googly eyes and no front paws, and he's just really strange and creepy looking, and he has these big gills that are like leaking blood all over the city. It's nuts. And then he sort of adapts and he sort of slowly becomes the Godzilla that we know and love, and he's bigger than he's ever been before. He's like 4 times the size that Godzilla has ever been. And like I say, the whole movie are these bureaucrats and these government officials and how they're just interacting back and forth. And it's very satirical and it's very weird and bold. And it's almost has a sort of a Dr. Strangelove feel to it, the way these guys are interacting. And there's this one scene that seems to be pulled straight out of Eye in the Sky, where these helicopters are surrounding Godzilla with these missiles and they're about to blast him. But then there's this old man and this little girl that are walking by Godzilla's feet, and they're like, collateral damage, we can't kill this little girl. So they radio ahead to their commanders, and they send this up the chain of command. You know, should we abort the mission or should we kill Godzilla and risk hurting this little girl? And it's really funny. I kept expecting to show Helen Mirren there, but it plays like a spoof of Eye in the Sky, but I don't think it could be, because I think this movie was probably filmed before Eye in the Sky, or probably couldn't have been influenced. But it's very funny like that.
Yeah, it's a weird release pattern. I mean, maybe there it's a deal with the American studio that has is it Warner's, I guess, has the rights to Godzilla. So maybe that's the only way they would allow this into the country if it was on a very, very limited release schedule.
Perhaps it's the biggest money making movie in Japan so far of all time.
Yeah,
or maybe just of the year. I misread that.
It's a shame that we're not getting more of a chance to see it.
No, it's amazing. It's really great. I mean, and the special effects are just breathtaking, and it's a man in a suit, but it's CGI enhanced, of course. But you get these bird's eye view shots of downtown Tokyo from shot way up in the air. You see the entire city, and then you can see Godzilla in the middle of the city. It's still a man in a suit, and I guess they sort of CGI'd him into the shots of the city, but it's very, very impressive. And it's funny because, you know, every time there's an American Godzilla movie, like 1999, then Toho will try to outdo it. So they came out with Godzilla 2000, which they incorporated elements of Independence Day into, and that was a really, really good one. And then they did Godzilla Final Wars, which had all the monsters from all the Toho movies, and they even had an appearance by the American Godzilla in that one. This new one came... There's no other monsters in the movie, which is kind of an unusual twist for a Godzilla movie. I guess this is their answer to the 2014 Godzilla movie.
Which was terrible.
Yeah, well, it wasn't as bad as the Matthew Broderick.
The Matthew Broderick one was awful.
But it was kind of,
I thought it was kind of dull. Yeah, I think the 2014 Godzilla movie was
needed
kind
more
of a
Godzilla.
Snooze. Yeah.
and waste of Bryan Cranston.
It concentrated way too much. But, you know, a friend of ours said, oh, that's what they did in the 60s. They always showed the people on the ground and all that. Mm-hmm. And say, yeah, but now they can, you know, they've got the effects down. They could do more with the monsters. So I don't want to see all the little soap opera stuff happening at ground level. I want to see the Godzilla wiping out monsters.
Well, some of the ones in the 70s just became so juvenile. There was always a little boy. I remember seeing Godzilla's Revenge, also known as Godzilla on Monster Island, at the Fox Theater when I was 10. And that was kind of the nadir as far as the silliness goes. They even had a Godzilla's son who spoke with this southern accent. It was ridiculous. Now, this one's much more serious and sort of grim, but sort of satirical at the same time. It's very, very good. It's probably going to end up on my top 10 list. And when we go to the St. Louis Film Critics Association Best Foreign Film of 2016, Shin Godzilla, doggone it.
We'll see.
Although I doubt anybody else in that organization saw it.
You never know.
And I tell you what, we went after church yesterday because it showed at noon, and I expected there to be maybe, I don't know, 30 or 40 people there. We pull up to the Tivoli, and the line went all the way around the building. There was 300 people that showed up to see Shin Godzilla yesterday at noon at the Tivoli.
Awesome. Well, they didn't show it to us, did they?
No. And they charged $15. They charged event price at the...
Good
Tivoli.
Gosh.
Yeah.
300 people, that's good for the Tivoli.
So I highly, highly, highly recommend Shin Godzilla. Maybe they'll pull it out at the theater, put it out the theater again since it did so well. Maybe you'll have another opportunity to see it. If you do, I highly recommend it, but I'm sure it'll be out on Blu-ray or something here in a couple months.
Yeah.
All right.
Be a big seller on Blu-ray, I'm sure.
Yeah. So that's it for new movies. This week we see Jack Reacher. I know Ouija 2 opens, and you guys are seeing something this afternoon. What's that one called?
It's called Moonlight, but it doesn't open for about a month or so.
Yeah, it's November 11th, if memory serves.
That's right in the middle of SLIF.
It's getting a lot of awards buzz. Mm-hmm. It's done well on the festival circuit.
Yeah, yeah.
So you didn't see the man from O or the Swedish
Oh,
O?
No.
I thought you'd seen
Kate
that.
Kate liked that.
Yes, she tried that.
It is at Plaza Frontenac.
Yes.
I haven't finished it yet.
No.
It's
how far did you get in it?
Not very far.
Okay. Well, what do you think so far?
It's charming.
Lynn says the first 10 minutes of Man from O are charming.
I have to return to it.
Let's talk about some local events going on. Of course, I do 16mm double feature night, and I forgot to announce what my show was last week. 2 weeks ago, I didn't know what it was, and last week we got so busy with Brian Spath that I forgot to announce it. But my next show is November 1st, which is coming up. That's 2 weeks from tomorrow. And I will be showing a 16mm print of The Entity. You ever seen The Entity, Lynn?
Barbara Hershey? Yes.
Yeah, and she gets raped by this invisible demon, and nobody believes her, and... I haven't seen it in a long time. I haven't seen it since I saw it on VHS.
Yeah, Ron Silver's in it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He plays like the doctor.
And she is still acting.
Oh, yeah.
And she's married to the guy that played Saeed on Lost.
That's right. That's right, yes. Who was in, the Rodriguez part of a Grindhouse there.
So. And he was in that one, The Brave One, where Jodie Foster remade Death Wish.
Yes. Naveen Andrews is the actress.
That's right.
Well, isn't he a lot younger than Barbara Hershey?
Certainly. I always just call the Lost characters by their name in the show.
Well, I'm sure they appreciate that.
And they've all moved on.
Yeah, so that's at the top of the double feature, the entity, right?
Oh, yes. I was wondering how we got off on this tangent about this guy. Okay, yes, we were talking about 16mm double feature, and that is November 1st. Entity at 8 o'clock, followed by my favorite Showcase Burt Reynolds movie, White Lightning.
I cannot remember that. That's when he was doing Smokey.
Oh, this was five years before Smokey. This is 1972, I believe. It's actually Laura Dern's first movie. She was a child in it. And Ned Beatty plays a sheriff, and Bert plays Gator McCluskey, the moonshiner. And at the beginning, the sheriff kills his brother, so he gets out of prison and gets revenge on the sheriff. Oh, it's so good! It's so good.
Gator. Yeah, Gator, a guy named Gator. It's going to be good.
Well, they did a sequel there.
Called Gator.
Lauren Hutton, right?
Yeah, and. Yeah, it was fantastic.
So this movie was maybe about a year or so after Deliverance, I guess, then, right?
It was, and Ned Beatty was his co-star in Deliverance as well. It's not as good as Deliverance. But as far as the 70s movies that are, they're showcase movies for Burt Reynolds, that he's the star, I think this is the best.
It beats Seamus, beats,
So that'll be November 1st.
Sharky's Machine.
At 8 o'clock.
Well, that was later on. Yeah. That was his first directorial film. That's a great one.
No, Gator was his first directorial film.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And my buddy Roger, who I do the show with, he's the projectionist. He bought a print of Joe Kidd over the weekend with spectacular color, so we'll be showing that in December. That's a great Clint Eastwood movie with Robert Duvall. Yeah. All right, enough 16mm.
Did you mention that Madea has, Tyler Perry has a new movie coming out, Boo, a Madea Halloween?
Yeah, but they won't show him to us.
I'm so excited about the new Tyler Perry movie. I hope it's as good as, what was the one where he's the detective?
Alex Cross. Now, they showed that to us.
Yeah, now that's funnier than, movie's actually funnier than his Madea movie.
We laughed it off the screen.
Well, the Madea movies are critic proof. They never show them to us. He never shows them to us.
They still make money. I mean, he's still breaking these things out, so they must.
And he's got a TV empire, too.
What? Well, good for him. I don't begrudge him.
He's a very talented guy, and I thought he was excellent in Gone Girl.
In the first Star Trek movie.
the new one with Chris Pine. Yeah. He's the head of the Federation.
All right, so Lynn wanted to bring up Madea because she's a huge fan of Tyler Perry.
Because we were talking about openings.
Okay. What else opens? Did we give anything out?
No, that's all right.
Let's move on then. Seven Samurai is playing at the Tivoli Wednesday night at 7 o'clock as part of the Classics on the Loop series, which I have yet to attend one of those, doggone it. They show these big, renowned epics every Wednesday night. They did Gone with the Wind this past week, and they had 100 people show up, I heard. So that's pretty good. But they're not going to continue it when it ends next week, although they think they'll bring it back again next spring. So Seven Samurai, 1951, Akira Kurosawa classic with Toshirô Mifune. Which
was the foundation for the Magnificent Seven.
That's right. All right, and then let's see. Rocky Horror Picture Show starts Friday and Saturday, and the following Friday and Saturday.
So you'll be in your bustier introducing that.
You bet I will.
And do you know they're online? There is a guide to all the things that you're supposed to say and shout if you've never been.
Okay.
I'm just saying, if you need a primer.
At the Tivoli, they do this thing called the Samurai Electricians, and they have these guys dress up as the characters, and they're standing on the stage at the Tivoli in front of the screen, acting it out as the movie's playing, which they didn't do at the Varsity Bag in the day. People, showed up and acted stuff out, but not formally on stage in front of the screen.
I've been there before.
It's a little distracting.
Yeah, but I've been there before with them, and they don't do it all the time, just some of the time. So it's not going on constantly.
Okay.
But you can buy a bag of the props at the Tivoli.
A prop bag.
So you're ready.
All right. And then let's see. This past weekend, Andy over at the Moolah ran Phantasm, but I had a head cold all weekend, so I didn't make it out to the Moolah. But he's doing a second show in October, and that's 2 weeks, or whatever that is, the 28th, 29th, or something like that.
Yeah, that's the last week.
And he's doing Halloween 2, which was, of course, the sequel to Halloween, and it was, and it did co-star Jamie Lee Curtis.
And that's
was not directed by, was not directed by John Carpenter. What's the spoiler alert?
You find out how she's connected to Michael Myers.
She showed up, though, about 25 years later in another sequel, like Halloween 10 or something
H2O.
Like that. Was that what it was?
Yeah, okay. This one's all set in the hospital. Is this, so this is the one that's directed by, is it not Nick Castle, is it? Is it another?
No, it doesn't sound right.
No, I'll think of him here.
It's a creepy hospital.
Yeah, there's like nobody in the hospital.
Right, which is why it's creepy.
But I do remember there's a scene at the beginning where this kid shows up at the hospital and he's got the razor blade in his tongue that he got out of the apple. laughing at that,
which we always heard about growing up. You get a candy apple, you bring it to mom, and I'll cut it open just to make sure nothing's in there.
Yeah.
Well, you have children that were of trick or treat age recently.
Oh, sure.
Do they still X-ray candy now for
kids? Probably. I mean, I think you can go down to like the police station or something. They'll X-ray them, but I've never done that.
Remember when you always used to go to the house and you'd get something that wasn't candy?
Yeah.
Here's toothbrushes.
A pencil. When I was single, I lived in Dogtown. I just gave the kids cigarettes. That kept them away from my house the following year.
Isn't that in Monster Squad? No, Space Invaders.
Okay.
Right?
I don't
where they where the aliens are giving out cigarettes to the kids.
I don't remember that. Okay, that was Halloween 2. And we can also talk about Nosferatu from 1922,
the best
version of Dracula with Max Schreck as Count Orlok. There you have two opportunities in the next week to see that. Thursday at the, what's the name of that brewery over there on Urban Chestnut. Urban Chestnut Brewery on Washington, which is just up the road from where we're sitting right
now.
Grand Center. They're going to show Nosferatu with live music by my friends, the Rats and People Motion Picture Orchestra. These guys are great. I've seen them do Nosferatu more than once. They're fantastic. And they don't know. It starts at dusk, whatever that means. So I'm guessing maybe 8 o'clock or so it'll start. And that's free. So go see that. Or if you can't go see that and you've got a hankering to see Nosferatu on the big screen with live music, you can go to Webster University's Moore Auditorium this Saturday and see it with a group from Austin, Texas, called the Invincible Czars. That's at 7:30 Saturday night only at Webster University, and that is $10 to get in. So it's not free like the Urban Chestnut. But
Max Schreck is positively creepy. And if you've seen Shadow of a Vampire, which I made the mistake of watching one night, and I still have dreams about that.
I saw that at SLIFF many years ago.
Yeah, I remember that.
Willem Dafoe as the Max Schreck.
Yeah, have you ever seen pictures of Max Schreck without his Count Orlok makeup? He looked like, that nose was real.
Yeah, it is very creepy that if you're a Dracula vampire fan, that's the best.
I know the best is Horror of Dracula.
It's not my favorite Dracula movie.
I do like that one. Yeah. That used to be on a lot when I was babysitting as a teen. Yeah.
All right, well, I guess that's it as far as local stuff goes.
Well, that's a lot.
It is a lot. All right. Locally, we've got the St. Louis International Film Festival coming up. Brian Spath, who is the, what's his title
Operations
over there?
Operations Manager.
Operations Manager was our guest in the studio last week, and they had just announced the schedule, and it was super exciting as we...
Because it's a 25th anniversary.
But now they've even gone into a little more detail on their schedule. You know, remember that St. Louis Filmmaker Showcase, that one about Tom Cruise? That short?
Mm-hmm.
I'm interviewing that guy on Wednesday. Even Ferrante is his name. And, and I'm seeing the new Tom Cruise movie tomorrow night. And I'm there interviewing him the next day.
Oh, there you go.
You just can't get away from Tom Cruise, can you?
Yeah.
So, no matter how hard you try.
I'm very excited about their Hollywood lineup because they're going to show Jackie, which is getting Oscar buzz.
Have you watched
Natalie
the trailer
Portman.
for Jackie? And they have Richard Harris singing Camelot on the soundtrack.
Yes, because
that's very effective.
It is because that's what JFK used to listen to.
I know that they
that was on Broadway at the time.
Oh, yeah.
Richard Burton and Julie Andrews. That was his big thing. That's why that book is called One Brief Shining Moment. But she has that accent. She nails that accent of Jackie because that's a very specific voice.
Mm-hmm.
And she looks the part.
Oh, yeah.
So that'll be interesting. And then there's a movie called Manchester by the Sea.
Yeah, that looks
good. That stars Casey Affleck, yeah, and Michelle Williams.
Yeah, yes, it looks, yes, really good.
And
yeah,
it's directed by Kenneth Lonergan. And so that is getting huge critical acclaim.
Good. Yeah, also the movie Lion is getting a lot of critical acclaim also. That's the one with Dev Patel and Nicole Kidman, I believe.
Yes.
And, yeah, there's a lot of buzz around that. But
and
yeah,
the foreign film L.
Yeah,
directed,
yeah,
by Paul Verhoeven.
Yeah, he hasn't directed a movie in a long time.
No,
his last movie was The Black Book, and that was probably 10 years ago. I don't know what he's been doing.
Yeah. I looking through the schedule yesterday, I saw an interesting-looking documentary called The Last Laugh.
Yeah.
The reason I seared toward that is it had a picture of Mel Brooks with, yeah, it. But, yeah, it's a documentary. It sounds almost like a follow-up to The Aristocrats from a couple of years ago. But it's about, you know, when is too long? There's a term, I guess, in comedy where, you know, a comedian will talk about a recent or do a joke about a recent tragedy and people will yell, too soon, too soon. Mm-hmm. And, well, is it still too soon to do Holocaust jokes, I guess, is the documentary's Ooh. Premise. And it's going to have, looks like it's going to have a lot of interviews with Mel, with Louis C.K., with people like that, a lot of clips from Curb Your Enthusiasm, and a real discussion of that. I'm kind of looking forward to that one. Also, there's a couple of animated films. We touched on the animation program last week, but I found out about, you have to help me with the title, Tom. I think is it called The Tower? The film about the Whitman sniper, yeah, shootings?
I think it is, yeah.
Yes,
yeah. And that's animated?
They use animation to recreate okay, what was going on that day. And I've seen some stills from it, and it looks very interesting.
Yeah. 1966, yeah, University, yeah, of Texas.
So yeah, remember they made that version with Kurt Russell.
That's right, for television.
Yeah, that was called The Deadly Tower.
Yeah, yeah. And also there's a movie called The Phantom Boy, and the reason I'm interested in that is it's from the makers of a great animated film that played Sliff a couple of years ago called, I think, The Cat in Paris. And it looks, yes, looks really interesting. This is more closer to the Cell animation, the classic animation, along with, I think we touched on the Red Turtle last week also. That looks very interesting. Now, I've actually watched one of the films that's going to be playing at Sliff, since I'm going to be judging seven of the films for the narrative jury, the Joe Pollack jury. I watched Coming Through the Rye, which will have a lot of interest for people into literature and, you know, in a film itself. A few years ago, there was a documentary that got a lot of attention called Salinger, and this is sort of a fictionalized sort of sequel to that, kind of. This is about a kid. It starts out as sort of a Rushmore-type film. It's a kid, I believe the actor's name is Nate Wolfe. He's been in some teen dramas over the last, yes, few years. And he's a kid kind of having a miserable time at his prep school, and he decides that for his senior project, for his end-of-the-year project, he's going to do a stage adaptation of Catcher in the Rye by J.D. Salinger. And his instructor, who's played by Adrian Pasdar, says, well, you need to get his permission. And so this kid decides he's going to try to track him down. He has no luck contacting literary agents like Bennett Cerf and people like that. So he decides to just travel to his little rural East Coast. Was it,
New Hampshire.
New Hampshire? Yeah, and try to find him in the woods. And since he's at a boys' prep school, they would bring in girls from another local school to play the female parts in the plays. And at the start of the film, they're doing Romeo and Juliet, and one of Juliet's handmaidens sort of has a crush on this kid, and they end up making the road trip. So it becomes sort of a road trip romance as they're trying to track down J.D. Salinger, who's played by Chris Cooper, Oscar winner Chris Cooper, and it's always a pleasure to see him in anything. Huh.
So this will play theatrically, it sounds like.
I think it's got a good chance at getting at least a
week
or so.
Some movies play at Sliff, and then you never hear from them again.
I know, but what's the brilliance of Chris Clark, who picks these films out, is that we get to see films before they're big, or films that are under the radar. That's what, yeah, our award used to be called. St. Louis Film Critics, of which all three of us are members, gives out two awards, one for documentary and one for narrative. And last year we renamed the documentary award for Joe Williams, the late Post-Dispatch critic, and we previously had named the award for Joe Pollack. So he's narrative, which you had the jury.
Yes.
And then the Joe Williams one is docs, which I had. And so we give them out on the closing night, the 13th. Mm-hmm. But we are usually fascinated by some of the films that we get to see that are totally under the radar.
Well, yeah. Last year I was with the narrative, and two of the films that we judged went on to get Oscar nominations for Best Foreign Film.
There you go.
So, yeah. So that's sometimes you get the first look at some. Well, we talked about it last week. I think the opening night one about 4 or 5 years ago was Black Swan. And they ended up picking up an award for Natalie Portman.
Another movie I wanted to talk about that's playing asleep is called Within Our Gates. Have you heard of that one? It was made in 1921, and it was made by Oscar Michaud, who is a black filmmaker who made movies with black casts in the 1920s in the silent era. And this will be accompanied by Stace England and the Screen Syndicate, which is they're based over in Illinois somewhere, but they came here a couple of years ago and they played before a screening of Caged Heat, believe it or not, which is a great women's prison film.
Oh, yeah.
But this time they're actually going to accompany the film Within Our Gates. So that'll be over at Webster University. And what else?
Aren't you showing King Kong?
Oh, yeah. I'm hosting a screening of a tribute to King Kong on November 6th, which is a Sunday night, starting at 6 o'clock. We're going to show a documentary called Long Live the King, which is about how King Kong has influenced filmmakers and culture, et cetera, et cetera. And we will follow that with the 1933 classic King Kong.
And it still is quite the classic.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome.
A fan film made by local filmmaker Wyatt
Reed. Oh, yeah, the Batman thing.
The Batman movie, The Dark Knight, that shows on November 7th. And that is going to be very interesting.
The Dark Knight Returns, is that the full title of it?
Or something like that.
Yes.
It's at 9:30. And it's double feature with that short that we saw at the Filmmaker Showcase where Joker and Harley Quinn are in the psychiatrist's office. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that, but this Dark Knight Returns, that's a full feature length?
Oh, no. It's about 40 minutes, I think.
40? Yes. Okay.
Between 40 and 50 minutes.
But it's a fan film, and it's very extensive. I talked to Wyatt about 2 weeks ago about it. Sounds
very expensive?
Very good.
Is that what you said?
No, it's extensive.
Oh, extensive. Misunderstood.
It's expensive. Okay.
Yes. No, they're both he and Jason Contini, a local actor. They are very big fans of Christopher Nolan.
All right. So, speaking of Christopher Nolan, let's move on and talk about some movies that are coming out later this year. Isn't Christopher Nolan's Dunkirk coming out this year? Is that coming out next year?
Gosh, I don't know. I'm not sure if it's going to be out before the end of the year or not.
An Oscar thing?
Well, we'll find that out.
Well,
the trailer looks amazing.
We have quite a few coming up in the next few weeks. The Arrival, which has got Amy Adams and Jeremy Renner. And that is by the guy that did Sicario and Prisoners.
The trailer didn't do much for me. It looks like a lot of sci-fi movies from the past 20 years, but who knows?
So that's, I'm hoping.
There's going to be a lot of the big movies we don't get till January.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, The Founder with Michael Keaton as Ray Kroc, basically, it's going to be an unflattering portrait of how he stole McDonald's from the McDonald's brothers. So that's not coming out here till January, but it's going to be played in L.A. and New York for Oscar consideration.
Mm. Yeah, one film that I left for talking about our upcoming list at the Geek site of the films we're looking forward to for the end of the year. One I left out, I don't know if I get the title right, it's Rules Don't Apply.
Oh, the Warren Beatty movie where he's Howard Hughes.
Yeah, this is his first film in a long time. Yeah, and he's been wanting to do a film about Howard Hughes for quite a while also.
But if you watch the trailer, it's nothing like you would expect.
Yeah, they're kind of promoting it as sort of a wacky romantic comedy.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling it might go a little bit deeper than that, but that has a powerhouse cast.
Oh, yeah.
And it's also going to include the kid that's going to be playing young Han Solo, this Aiden Einreich.
He looks to be at the center of the film, based on the trailer.
He and, what is that name? Was it Lily Collins is the young actress's
name? I think
name?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, she's
Phil's daughter.
Yeah, he's playing his love interest in that. And Annette Bening is in it. Mm-hmm. And some other people. It looks very interesting. So I am looking forward to that. And, of course, I'm kind of looking forward to Moana also, the next animated Disney film. You got to separate. There's Disney feature animation from Pixar, so it's sort of their competing divisions. So we already had a Pixar release this year with Finding Dory, and this is Disney features, which I guess their last big one was maybe Big Hero 6 a couple of years ago.
Yes.
But this is
won the Oscar.
Yeah, this is closer to, I guess, Frozen, in that this looks to be a full-fledged musical. Besides being a look at, I guess it's Samoa is where it's set, at their mythology and culture, and it's got Dwayne Johnson actually
the
singing
Rock.
A tune or two, I believe. Yes.
Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to La La Land. That's the Damien Chazelle film. That's a musical about Dash Topes in Hollywood, and it's getting so much Oscar buzz. That's like one of the front runners right now. Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, very, very much looking forward to that. And there's a this little film, I think it's called Rouge One.
Rouge One,
a Star Wars film. That's what it's called. A Star Wars story. Rogue One. Yeah. They released a new trailer, I guess, last week, and the internet just about broke over because you got to see a little bit more of the man, Darth Vader.
I like the new trailer because the first one was confusing, I thought. This one is a little bit clearer.
Yeah. And, of course, we had the preview last Monday of Doctor Strange, and we're going to get to see that maybe in a couple of weeks, so that's going to come out November 4th.
About Baywatch?
That's probably not till next Sunday earliest.
That's too bad, because that's the movie I'm most looking forward to.
Because it's
Baywatch, and it stars Alexandra Daddario.
And your pal Dwayne Johnson in his briefs. So,
that's right.
And
Hoff makes a cameo, I hear.
Well, you know, they usually set the Oscar bait movies for the fall.
I would think Baywatch would be an Oscar bait.
You would think wrong, then, I think.
You never know.
And then Jessica Chastain's going to be in Miss Sloan.
That might be interesting,
And Hacksaw Ridge.
Mel Gibson.
That's open November 4th.
Based on a true story, Andrew Garfield.
So we'll be seeing that here soon ourselves. I think the invites went out for that last week.
Did they?
I think for a couple of different screenings of it.
That's right.
I'm trying to think if there's another. Well, this Trolls thing comes out in a couple of weeks, but I don't know.
I was actually seeing that Saturday. Yeah. I think that opens a week from Friday.
Yeah. So I guess that would be considered a fall, winter
Justin
movie.
Timberlake
and Anna Kendrick again.
She's everywhere. I didn't see her in The Hollers.
So it has songs.
She's on the radio all the time. I have to listen to these pop stations because of my girls.
And Sing is coming out at holiday time, too.
That's true. That's from the Secret Life of Pets folks. And it's a full-fledged musical. And we'll get to hear Scarlett Johansson whirling a tune along with Matthew McConaughey. So that should be interesting. And Matthew has a big film coming out called Gold, I believe is the title, but based on a true story.
He looks so bizarre in that. Receding headlines.
It's about a real guy that made a gold strike, I guess, in South America or something.
Oh, yeah?
And it's about all the shenanigans that went on. I guess it's set in the late 70s, early 80s. And Edgar Ramirez is back again. This is like his fourth or fifth movie this year.
Maybe sixth.
Yeah, Bryce Dallas Howard, I guess, is involved in it. And it looks pretty interesting.
All right, so stuff to look forward to. All right, well, we're going to have to wrap this up, doggone it. It's been such a fun morning. And we'll be back next week, and I can review Trolls, and we can review Jack Reacher, and maybe Ouija 2 if we see that.
Get a little more into keeping up with the Joneses, too,
Get a little more detail about that.
But mark your calendar for the Sliff November 3rd to 13th, because you don't want to miss it. It's the 25th anniversary.
Go to cinemastlouis.org and start picking out what movies you want to see. And don't miss King Kong on the 6th, and also I'm posting a screening of Eyes of Fire on the 9th. As part of Sliff. But for now, I'm Tom Stockman.
Jim Batts.
Lynn Venhouse.
Thanks for joining us, Lynn.
Well, thank you for asking, Tom and Jim.
And be sure to listen again next week.
Black leather, rock. Black leather, ta-ta-ta. Black leather.
Oh, nice, Dave. Hello, darling.
Hey. Black leather, rock. Black leather, ta-ta-ta. Black leather, hip, hip, hip. I got that feeling. Black leather, rock. Black leather, smash, crash, crash. Black leather, kill, kill, kill. I got that feeling. Black leather, rock. Thank you.
black leather, kill, kill, kill. I got that feeling, black leather rock.
Forward into battle, there, chaps.
You happy in your work, Johnny?
By the lift!